The new year brings with it the start of Hollywood's annual awards season, where filmmakers and stars walk red carpets, give earnest speeches. It's all leading up to the Oscars in mid-March. Yesterday, it was the Critics' Choice Awards, which went to some of the front runners in the Oscars race. Wenli Ma is the culture editor of The Nightly and, of course, was avidly watching. Who were the big winners?
Yes, quite unsurprisingly, one battle after another. One of my favourite films of 2025, won Best Picture, as did its director, Paul Thomas Anderson. I mean, it is undoubtedly the favourite at this point to sort of clean up the rest of award season, including the big Oscars night. You've got people like Jessie Buckley for Hamnet, which actually comes out in a couple of weeks in Australia. She won for Best Actress, and Timothée Chalamet won for Best Actor in Mardi Supreme. And he, of course, has been on this completely bonkers and yet very, very committed promotional tour for the last 3 months. So it seems like we've just seen Timothée Chalamet absolutely everywhere, and we saw more of him as well. And then on the TV side, the Critics' Choice sort of rubber stamped what happened at the Emmys last year, which is so the Pitt won in drama, the Studio won in comedy. A lot of the actors on those shows also picked up gongs. But a couple of the new ones, the newer entries were Reyes Ahorn won for Pluribus, which is a show that only just came out a few weeks ago.
And a couple of Australians picked up awards. What were they for?
Yeah, we had four nominees going in, actually. And Jacob Elordi won in Best Supporting Actor for Frankenstein. You know, he's someone who has really kind of risen in the past few years and arrived on really, I suppose, the Oscar scene very kind of abruptly and unexpectedly. But he, you know, won for playing the Frankenstein's creature. And then Sarah Snook won in the TV categories for her role in All Her Fault, which is an American drama that they actually did film in Melbourne, and largely because she had amassed enough power as both an actor and a producer to have that production done there.
Wow, I watched that one. The plot was kind of wild, but I love Sarah Snook, so I kept going to the end. Remind us, who votes for the Critics' Choice Awards, and do they always have impact on the Oscars?
The Critics' Choice Awards are voted by about 600 entertainment journalists, very, very, very largely American. So it very much reflects the conversation in the US rather than globally. So you didn't see as many international films would do as well as we would expect them to do maybe next week at the Golden Globes or down the line at the Oscars. In terms of like whether or not it has an impact on the Oscars, it is something of a bellwether awards, but there are no voter overlaps. So it's not the same people voting. But what it does do, as things like the Golden Globes do as well, where there also are no overlap voters, is that it creates conversation, it creates buzz, it creates momentum, and Oscar voters are kind of paying attention because they don't necessarily have time to watch as many movies as critics and journalists who, you know, it's their job to do that, do. So they sort of go, oh, those shows and those films and those actors are getting awarded, maybe I should go and check out what that performance was. So it's more likely that they're going to watch something that has already won stuff than something that's not on the bubble as much.
On Radio National Breakfast, I'm with Wenli Ma, the culture editor of The Nightly. And turning to streaming, this week marks the return of The Night Manager. That's an espionage thriller starring Tom Hiddleston. It was last on our screens a whole decade ago. Let's have a little listen.
I spent years creating you anew. It's time you get back in the field.
That's him. Teddy Dos Santos.
Teddy is smuggling arms into Colombia.
Calls himself Richard Roper's true disciple.
And I think British intelligence is helping him.
That's your chance to be a snake in their garden.
I feel like we've been talking about season two of The Night Manager for almost all those 10 years. Why did it take so long?
Well, originally it was a one and done. It was a miniseries. It wasn't meant to be a follow-up. It was, you know, based on this one John le Carré novel. And then le Carré himself died in 2020, so didn't write any more story to go with it. And it was only after his death, and apparently he had given his blessing before he died, if they ever found, if the TV writers ever found another story that would work, they should go ahead and do it. And it has just taken them that long to do it. And now Tom Hiddleston is back. Some of the returning cast members from the first season in smaller roles, but quite a few new cast members, including Diego Calva, who was in Babylon, Kaylee Squires, and Camilla Morone, one of the hot Hollywood starlets. And so there's this new story which is happening in South America. A lot of it is a plot around Colombia and more arms dealing. But, you know, it's Tom Hiddleston being a very slick and sexy spy.
And there's an Australian in that as well, isn't there?
Elizabeth Debicki was in the first season, but she doesn't come back for this one.
She doesn't come back. And this Friday, season two of The Pitt, you mentioned it was won an award. What can we expect from season two?
It is more of the same, which is actually exactly what we want from it, because the consistency in the writing, the performances of that show is so superb. It will be a weekly drop, so you cannot watch the whole thing at once, but it's absolutely worth hanging around because you've got Noah Wiley, you've got that great ensemble cast, including Australian actor Shabana Aziz, enmeshed in this world of absolutely gorgeous humanist storytelling.
Plenty to stay home for as well as to go out to the movies for. Wenlei Ma, thank you so much.
Thank you.